First, let us open our Bible in the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter. Today's topic is fasting. Most churches hear the word fasting, but most churches don't like to fasting. They don't want to fasting, or maybe they don't understand how to fasting. Many of you have heard in the past maybe of such thing as a Daniel fast. Yes, Daniel fast in the Bible, but what the church teaches and how they teach it is no such thing that Daniel did. So it is very important as believers that we do understand the importance of fasting. Fasting, it's a must. It's not an if. It's not a maybe. No, God called it a must for his church, for the body of Christ. Luke, the fourth chapter from verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, being filled or full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." Notice in this fourth chapter of Luke, it relates, Jesus was being filled of the Holy Spirit. When did Jesus become filled of the Holy Spirit? If we go back to chapter 3 in the Gospel of Luke, it relates from the 21st verse how Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. In this baptism, Jesus was being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when it said, and Jesus came back, or when Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan. He had just came back from the Jordan, just being baptized by John the Baptist. And in the water baptism, there were a voice that heard from heaven that saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Once he was being filled with the Holy Ghost, he came back from the Jordan and he was led by the Spirit of God. As believers, as the church, the body of Christ, we are called to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every believer must achieve, must conquer, being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, God don't want his church to be a mediocre church or a dead church. God wants his church to walk in the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And to be filled by the Holy Ghost, it needs consecration, it needs dedication, it needs time into God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. As you draw near to God, is the most God going to become real in you. You have to try to get closer to God. It is a must. We are all called to draw near to God, so that God can empower us with the Holy Spirit as a church, as his body. Jesus returned from the Jordan. He was filled with the Holy Ghost already, but he was led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness. Into the wilderness is being led by God to go into a fasting, go into an isolated place, go into a place where you can only be with you and God. And he went into this fasting. 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing. Fasting must be done in an abstain fashion. There is no such thing as a food fasting. There is no such thing as Daniel did a food fasting. There is no such thing as Daniel breakfast fruits and Daniel. No, that was not a fasting. Let's see it in the scripture. Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince and of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This was not a fast that Daniel was doing in chapter 1. He was not fasting in chapter 1. He was under his type of diet. Vegetarian, fruits. He ate it right. He did not eat foolishness. He did not want to eat the food that the kings back then in Babylon, in the years of captivity, that they were given. He did not want to drink nor a portion of the wine that the king was giving him. He wanted to abstain himself from all their food and eat what he think was healthy, right for him. But he was not fasting. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Here Daniel goes into a fast. And let's see his fast in chapter 10. Verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. At no time Daniel ate food. Fasting must be done in an abstained fashion. It is meant to build the inner person, the spirit person of God that dwells in us as human beings. Our natural food is to feed the desires of our flesh. It is not nothing to do with God. So Daniel at no time did a food fasting. Daniel did an abstain fasting when he had to fast. When did these fasting of Daniel occur? In the days and the years that they were captive in Babylon. Very important that. Go back to what Jesus was doing. In Luke chapter 4, notice that after Jesus, even in the reference that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, in those 40 days, the story relates that he was tempted by who? The devil. But as we said, while he was tempted because of Satan knows the desires of every person. Satan knows what we want or what we will like to have or what we will desire. Even though he knows all that, when Satan gonna come after you, I don't care if you're fasting like Jesus, he's still gonna tempt you. Even if you're not fasting, he's still gonna tempt you. But his purpose is only to let you draw astray from God, to try and take you away from continuing seeking God's face. So what he did, he knew Jesus was in a fast. So when he gonna tempt him, notice what he did. He first utilized the word. Satan might use the word, but he's not gonna use the word and interpret the word as the word is to be interpreted. Only the Holy Spirit can interpret this scripture. And he's gonna use this word, but he's gonna give it his interpretation. He's gonna use it for his purpose. He utilized the word to Jesus. He came with the word. He said, if thou be the Son of God. He's using his mind to. Satan is saying, I know you're hungry. I know it's 40 long days. You haven't ate nothing. I know you're really, really hungry. You could eat a nice Subway sandwich or a nice Mickey's burger. Something you could eat right now because you're hungry. He uses his strategy to try to deceive a believer. He knows their need. So he utilized this strategy by telling Jesus, if you are the Son of God, look at that stone. Look at that piece of rock. You can tell God to turn that into bread. You can tell God to turn that into a piece of what you want, cheeseburger. You're hungry for 4 months a day. Tell God to turn it into a cheeseburger. You can do that. He's going to defy you using the word for his advantage. but he's not going to tell you the truth. Jesus responded to Satan. Jesus did not respond to him saying, well, you know, God, yes, I'm hungry. I really, really could have a sandwich right now. So if anything, let me ask God to turn that stone into a piece of sandwich for me that I can eat, because I'm hungry. He uses everything for his advantage. But Jesus used the word to counter Satan's attack. How can you defeat Satan? By using the word. But the only way you can use the word, if you know the word. If you don't have time to search the scripture, if you don't have time to eat the scripture, if you don't have time to read the scripture, how are you going to know the scripture? Anyone can tell you anything and you're going to believe. Because you don't search the scripture for your own. You don't be led by God to read the scripture, understand the scripture. Satan uses scripture. Jesus responds with his scripture. And let's see if Jesus' response was, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. We don't live by natural food alone. We live by every word that is written in God's word. We as believers, we are called to build our spiritual being, our inner man, through fasting and prayer in abstain fashion. Let's look at where God condemned food fasting. Let us turn to Zechariah chapter 7. God never called his church to fasting. And this event in Zechariah chapter 7 took place in the year when they were captive in Babylon. The same 70 years that they were captive in Babylon is where this event took place. Zechariah chapter 7, from the first verse. And it came to pass in the fourth year of the king, who? Darius. That the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislew. The king Darius, according to Daniel chapter 6, or Daniel chapter 5, the last verse, the 31st verse, is when he came in and started to reign while they were in Babylon. Verse 2 in Zechariah chapter 7, when he had sent on to the house of God Shirazer and Regem-Melech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophet, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? What here they are saying is that God told him to speak to the priests. God told him to speak to the leaders of the house, leaders of the church, in reference of how they used to come before God in fasting and prayer. In the 70 years of captive when King Darius was ruling, there are moments that they will take all time in the fifth month and the seventh month to fasting before God, to seek God's face. And in those years, they fasting before God the right way, the proper way. So now God told them to speak to the priests and the leaders of the church to tell the people, because they were not fasting right before God. Let's continue reading Zechariah chapter 7, verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people, not to a few, not to some, but speak unto all the people that were in Babylon, captive in those years of captivity. And he said, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these are months that they were fasting before God. When they used to fast in those months, listen to what God is telling them there. Even though 70 years, did ye all fast unto me, even to me? When they used to fast in the fifth and seventh month, they used to fasten to God. They used to fasten abstain the proper way before God. They knew what it was to seek God's face. But then let's see verse 6. Oh God, say what they were doing that was wrong. And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not you eat for yourselves and drink for yourself? Should not ye hear the words which the Lord had cried by the former prophets with Jerusalem, which were inhabited, prosperity and the cities therefore wrong about her, when men inhabited the salt and the plain? God was telling the people, now you say you all are fasting before me, but all of y'all come eating and drinking and y'all calling that fast. God said, that is not for me. Y'all ain't doing that for me. We have churches today practice a Daniel fast. They said it's an eating fast. God is saying today that to the churches that practice things that is not according to his word, my people perish for lack of understanding. My church are perishing for lack of knowledge. No one search the scripture. They just do whatever anybody tell them. Search the scripture to understand what and how you can please God. You're not going to please God doing the wrong things. But God will look at you and say, you're perishing for lack of knowledge. You're perishing for lack of understanding. That's the world God will look at you. In those years, though the people captive in Babylon, they knew how to fasting. Daniel and all of them, even in the time of King Darius. But when they decided, well, we're going to offer God anything. We're going to proclaim Noah food fasting. We're going to eat and drink and we're going to call it we're fasting. God is telling them that you're all doing it for yourself. But when you used to fasting in the fifth and the seventh month and come before me, abstain as the word I call to proclaim, then you're doing that for me. That's what God was telling them. In the book of Jonah, when Jonah proclaimed fasting to the people because of their disobedience before God, the Bible relates that they all came before God and abstained. No one ate nor drank nothing. They all presented themselves the proper way before God. Fasting is to build the spiritual person of God in us. It's not to build our flesh. The kingdom of God is not about food or drink. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. So we have to know as church of Jesus Christ how to fasten before God. Let's go back to the fasting of Jesus in Luke, the chapter 4. And the devil said unto him, after Jesus said, the devil talking to him into in verse 5, into the high mountain, shoot unto him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it to thee. Satan was trying to show him that as the prince of this world. Jesus always said Satan is the prince of this world. Jesus always says that my kingdom is not from this world. We are here, but we are not of this world. We have an eternal kingdom. A place that Jesus went to prepare for us as his church, as believers. We have a better place than what planet Earth can guarantee us. Satan is showing Jesus that all this is given unto me. If you bow and you worship and you serve me, I can offer you all this. He can give you all the desires of the world, all the desires of the flesh, if that's what you desire. But if you're in touch with God, if you're led and guided by the Holy Spirit, by God, then your desire is not nothing of this earth. You understand that we are just passing by through this earth. We're here as pilgrims. We're here today and then tomorrow we might be gone. We're just here passing by. We're not here for eternity. Our eternity is in heaven. The place that God had prepared for us. That's where our eternity must be focused on. That's where we must focus on that, where we want to go. Satan was trying to offer him what he can give him. I can give you everything of this world. Look at all these possessions. You can own everything. You can enjoy everything. But you have to worship and serve me. And he's also telling you have to give your soul to me to be partaker of being in hell with me. But how did Jesus respond? Not by might, nor by power, but through the word of God. He did not use his natural intellect and say, well, you know what? I'm going to make a deal with you. I could use this. I could use that. He never tried to utilize his own understanding or utilize what he think is best. He went to the word. How are you going to defeat Satan? By going to the word. The first thing Jesus said before him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We are called only to worship God. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one and defy the other. You can either serve God or you can either serve the devil, but you can't serve both. You can't serve God and Mammon at the same time. We cannot serve two gods. We can only serve one God. The God that created the heaven and the earth, the God that gave us this wonderful salvation, the God that one day reached to your heart, the God that transformed your mind, your heart, the God that reached to you one day when you were lost, when you were on the way to hell, when you were on the way to destruction, the God that raised you up from the dead, that's the God that we can serve. The only one that we can serve, his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only God that the church is called. That's why Jesus said, you can only serve the Lord thy God. There's no other God we can serve. We can't serve two God. We have to make a decision. I either serve one and defy the other, but I can't serve both. God does not want to share his glory with you and another God. God wants to share his glory with you and only him. He wants you to be his own property. He don't want to you to serve him and serve Satan at the same time. That's why Jesus said, you can only worship and serve one God, and in only shall those serve. We are called to serve only the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other God, any other person, any other thing that present before us, we cannot be partakers of it. We got to let Satan know that we are called to only serve God. That's what we're living for. We come to church to worship and serve God. We take our time to do the kingdom work because we are here only to serve God. That's the only focus must be on our mind. 24/7, wherever we go, the only thing your heart must desire is to serve God. Forget every other thing that the world or Satan want to put before thee. Put your mind and heart on God. He shall be the only one you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou consider yourself to be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. No, Satan, though, is defying. Because Satan is trying to say, well, you are the Son of God, supposedly. I guess you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ. But no, Satan is defying him by taking him on a pinnacle and saying, well, you know, if you jump from this pinnacle or if you jump from this height, God is going to send his angel and protect you. Nothing not going to happen. You can jump from a height and God's angels are there to just take you down the ride and bring you down safe. But you see, he's trying to use the word, but he's using it in the wrong way. He's using it to tempt. You can't tempt God. At no time as believers, we can tempt God. We can't tempt the Lord or God. And what Jesus' response was, when he presented himself in that form before Jesus, it is said in verse 12, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. At no time you can tempt God. At no time you should tempt God. You can't say, well, I'm going to try God and see if God can do this. I'm going to try God and see if God is going to respond to this. You can't tempt the Lord thy God. It is written in the scripture. That's what Jesus told Satan. We are not called to tempt God at no time. We are not called to fall into temptation, not even of Satan, at no time. Satan will tempt the church. Satan will tempt us, the believer. But we have to know how to overcome his temptation. Not in our intellect, not in our human force or knowledge. We have to know to use the word. We have to know to go to the word. When Satan comes to us, when Satan tries to throw whatever obstacle, whatever he wants, the word. We have the word. We have everything to overcome Satan. That's why Jesus used the words of him. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Immediately after Jesus finished, the Bible said that he went and he left for a while. In the book of Isaiah, in the 58th chapter, let us see how God called the church to fasting, the real way of fasting. Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up, verse 1, thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, unto the house of Jacob's their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteous, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask to me of the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and those seize not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and those take us not? Behold, in verse 4, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do in this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. We can't fast anymore. We can't say, well, I'm fasting because that neighbor of mine, she's terrible. She look at me so, I don't like how she look at me. She looks so, she don't even know how to speak to me. She don't even know how to say hi to me. So I'm going to fast for God to do her something. Because she's not friendly. We can't fast in that fashion. We can't say we fast in that fashion. What Isaiah is trying to say is that you can't fast just for fasting for anything or say anything and think that's fasting. Here he said, for your voice to be heard. You have to fast before God and fast for in the right fashion and the right form. You have to present yourself. Don't present yourself for nothing negative before God and say, well, I'm fasting for this. I'm fasting for God to take away that spouse of mine. I'm fasting for God. You can't do that. It's just things that we have to understand. We are not called to do that. We cannot, that's not, you can't fast and say, I'm fasting for this because I'm tired of this spouse. I'm tired of this husband. I'm tired of this wife. I'm tired of this girlfriend. I'm tired of this friend that lives next door. I'm just tired of that person. So I'm going to fast for God to do away with that person. Then you're not fasting for the right thing. You're wasting your time. This is what Isaiah is trying to say, that the church or the body of Christ or the Israelites, they need to know how to fast in, how to present themselves before God. That's why he said that to make your voice be heard on high. It is, verse 5, it is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. When you fast, you afflict what? Your soul before God. Is to be bowed down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will thou cast this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? It is not the fast that I have chosen. Verse 6, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. To destroy the yokes. Destroy and break everything. How these yokes going to be destroyed? How these things can be broken? In Matthew, the 17th chapter, in a given moment, there were a man that had a son that had a lunatic spirit. This man's son was possessed of a demon. And in the 17th chapter of Matthew, this man brought his son to the disciples of Jesus. The disciples were supposedly to be anointed by God, and Jesus sent them out. to lay their hands on the sick, to cast out spirits, to do the work of God. But still yet, this man brought his son under this oppressed spirit, and his disciple couldn't do nothing. So this man decided, well, I brought him to your disciples. He went to Jesus. And when he went to Jesus, he said, well, Jesus, this is what happened. I brought my son to your disciples. I presented him to them. I told them his situation. I told them what was happening to him. I told him that he needed to be delivered. I told him that he was so sick that not even medical science could do nothing for him. I told them that. But still yet, they could not cast this spirit out of him. Jesus said, until when this generation, oh, how long shall I be with you? Jesus saying, until when I shall be with you? Jesus told the man, bring your son to me. And Jesus immediately spoke to the spirit. He speak to the spirit and command the spirit to come out of this young boy. And the spirit immediately came out. And later on, the disciples approach Jesus and they say, Master. Because the disciple will look at Jesus and call him Master. And they'll say, hey, Master, I don't understand this. But how was you able to get this young boy set free, deliver this young boy? And we tried. We was rebuking that spirit. We was commanding that spirit to leave. But nothing happened. So they said, well, Master, what you did that we don't know what to do or we don't do? What you had to do, what would you have done that we have never done? So his disciple looked at him and Jesus looked at his disciple and said, until when shall I be with you? He said, but these types of situation is going to demand more than just you trying to cast out something. Jesus said, that's why Christians and the church are called to know how to live in the life of walking in the spirit through prayer and fasting, to live a life of prayer and fasting. It is not if I want to, no, it's a must. You have to pray and fasting. As the church, as the body of Christ, at all times, you have to pray and fasting. You have to know the importance of fasting. So Jesus tried to tell his disciples these kinds of situation, these kinds of spirits, these kinds of infirmities, they ain't going to just come out by you saying, come out. These kinds are going to require prayer and fasting. That's the only way they're going to come out. That's the importance of why a church must understand that we have to fasten. It is not, well, I don't feel to fasten now, or this is summertime. I got to enjoy my summer. Then you enjoy your flesh. You're not pleasing God. You want to please God, you seek God's face and do God's word, which is please the Spirit of God by fasting, praying, seeking his face. Otherwise, if you try to please yourself, you're not really pleasing God. God called us not to please us, but to please him. And so at all moment, it is a must as a church that we practice fasting, that we do fasting. At all time that we can fast, fast. Because there's time that you're going to fast and the victory you're going to be needed. And because of your fasting, God going to hear your cries and fasting. When the Israelite was bound and captive in the days of Moses, God heard their cries, God heard their prayers, God heard their fasting. God looked at those things that they did before him. In the time of the Bible days, many people had to fast. Paul, in his days, in the book of Acts, Paul was fasting, and God heard his fasting and prayer before him. Paul knew it was a must. Paul knew he had to fast in. It is a must before God that we fast in. There's time that we have to stop feeding this flesh and feed the spirit. There's a time we have to decide there's no time for natural food. I need spiritual food. I need to feed the spiritual man that God has placed in me. There's a time that we need to seek God's face, and God honors fasting and prayer when it's presented before him. God will not despise the days that you fasted before, but God will always honor those days that you present yourself in fasting and sackcloth before him. God will honor it. But the church have to make that determination. I am going fasting. I need to fasten. It is not my spouse. It is not my brother. It is me that need to fasten. There's a time the church have to make that stand. And regardless of who want to fasten, you fasting, you please God. You make God feel pleased and pleasant of what you're doing before him. Jesus, no one needed to tell him. Jesus just came out from being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into fasting and prayers. Jesus, no one had to tell him, because the Spirit of God is going to tell you, you need the fasting. The same Spirit of God that dwells in us is going to let us know, as men and women of God, we need to fast him. He's going to tell you, brother, it is time to fast him. It is time for you to seek my face in fasting. It is going to lead us as the Spirit led Jesus. It's going to lead the believers. And so when the Spirit of God leads you to fasting, forget your natural food. Forget your nice meal. Forget whatever you are doing. And go and seek God's face in fasting. Go into the wilderness. And when you come out of the wilderness, you're going to be blessed by God mightily. And God will be able to glorify his love and power through you, because you have fulfilled what God has called you to do. That's what Jesus did here. That's what we are called to do. That's why the book of Bible constantly speaks about fasting. And let us understand the importance of fasting. The book of the Bible teaches us and let us know what we can obtain and achieve through fasting and prayer. But we, the church, we, the body of Christ, have to make that determination to put it on our behalf to start seeking God's face in fasting and prayer through all kinds of situations, because we are in a spiritual war, and this spiritual battle is not going to be conquered through natural resource. We're going to have to seek God's face. It's going to be through fasting and prayer is what's going to let us win this spiritual battle that we are encountering here on planet Earth. There are spiritual forces in the ear. There are spiritual forces even come into the church. And there are spiritual forces that we have to encounter daily, continuously in our daily life. And the only way we're going to overcome these spiritual forces is through prayer and fasting. So as a Church of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to make it a must and put it on our behalf that I am going to start fasting. Forget the nice meal that mama prepare you. Forget that nice meal that the restaurant have. Forget that nice breakfast that you wake up in the morning and want to eat sometime. And say, no food for you, flesh. I'm going to feed this spirit. I'm going to feed the inner man, the Spirit of God that dwells in me, and feed him, because the Spirit of God wants to become greater and stronger in your life. So I'm going to stop here. I just want you to bow your head for a moment and understand the importance of fasting on this day. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor and exaltation. And we understand the importance as your body, as your church, that you're calling us to fasting and prayer. We acknowledge before thee the importance of fasting, O God. And we want to become overcomers, victorious Christian believers here on planet Earth. We want to achieve higher grounds and higher goals in your kingdom and in your presence. We want to be used mightily by thee. We want to defeat and overcome spiritual forces. We want to be victorious church. And we know that fasting and prayer can take us to that level. So, Father, We want you to strengthen our faith, build our confidence, and help us, not only on this day, but every day of our life, because we, your church, want to be a victorious church. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and thank you. Amen.